Lord, that you will continue to have your glory here this morning, Lord. And as we lay our lives down for your glory, won't you come and have your glory? Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Whatever I'm about to say, my words will fall flat to the ground. But your words, Lord, will rule and reign in our lives. Thank you that you are King and you are Lord. And as we sang, that you are in control of everything, Lord. Thank you for what you are doing, Lord. But we want more, Lord. We are your people. We want more. Come, Father. Amen. So I believe God is doing some stuff with all of us, right? And for some of us this morning, we've packed some wood, literally. And if there's a fire over there, we need to take that wood and let the fire keep burning. And I believe God's saying that most of us here are in this army that we were singing about, and there's more. And the only way we're going to get through that is if we continue to stack wood onto that fire and continue to go, Lord, I don't want that fire to burn dead or die. I want to continue to apply wood to the fire that you called me to, actually. The day of your salvation, I believe, is when God ignited a fire in your heart, in my heart, for him and his kingdom. So let's keep packing wood. And part of that this morning, as God is saying, he wants to break things like anxiety, fear, strongholds that's going through our lives, because we're in this army. And even in worship, I had this picture of us as we're running. Some of us are going, but there's this chain around me. So how can I run? But I've got this fire burning inside of me. I've got this fire. Can you, Lord, what do I do? This chain is holding me back. And I believe what God has placed on my heart is going to give us a little bit of more freedom. Freedom to be able to say, okay, I'm going to keep running. This chain is breaking. And for some of you, you already experienced it now. You've already experienced this chain falling. But for some of us, we're like, Sherman, but I've been praying. I've been doing this. Like, there's more. And I'm here to say, yes, there is more. There's more to God and his kingdom than what we all know of. So I want to, from the get-go, say that I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking with you. Okay? And I believe if we journey this through together, we'll see more of God. Because that's our hearts, right? To see more of him. So let me also say it at the forefront that I don't believe anxiety and fear in itself is sinful. Okay? So I believe that anxiety and fear and these things will come. They will come. Temptations will come. But when we allow those things to rule and reign over our lives, that's when I believe there's a sinful nature that's coming through. Simply because we say that Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord over my life, meaning that he is the one that has all rule and reign. So the moment I go, okay, but this other thing also has rule and reign, then who is our Lord then? And that's where we fall short of his glory. Okay, so just from the get-go, I want to say that that's not sin in itself, but when we let it rule and reign, that's where we have to. Because simply because when we trust a condition or a circumstance over God, eventually this leads to disobedience. And that's where we fall short, when we are disobedient. Because we're going, Lord, what are you saying at all times? Okay. So the amazing thing is that God always has and provides a way out. He always does. I've got paper. I don't have a laptop here. Like, I've got some scriptures, but the question you might ask is like, but does God really understand, or does God really know anxiety? What anxiety? And some of us, we're like, of course he does, because God is God. But do we really know in our hearts what we believe or what we say? And I want to touch on that real quick, okay? And answer that question with scripture. Does God really know my anxiety or anxiety, and how does it look? So let's go to scripture. In Luke 22:39, I want to paint us the picture where Jesus himself goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going, and his disciples are with him. And I believe this is a pure example of what anxiety actually looks like. Jesus himself going into this garden being like, no, I know my time has come. I'm about to die death on a cross. So this is the extreme of extremes, right? He's going, I'm about to die. So how much anxiety or nervousness does he have at this time? Because he's 100% God and he's 100% man. And that 100% man is going, Mayana. That's problema. There's something coming and I am overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed, so much so. And I'm going to ask my guys to please pray with me. And if we look at the scripture, I've got to wear glasses now as well. Uncle Sherman. It's okay, guys. If you are not there, maybe you'll get there, but hopefully you don't get there. It's real. Okay, in Luke 22:39. And he came out and went, and as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away. So some of us can probably throw to where John is. Some of us a bit closer because of the weak arms, you know. But more or less there where John is behind that computer there. This is where Jesus is from his disciples. And what does he do? He knelt down and prayed. Now you're wondering, yes, Jesus has to kneel down because he's so anxious right now. He's in this doubt of like, Lord, I know more or less what I'm going to go through. But he prays and he says, Lord, can you take this from me actually? Because this is so overwhelming. I can't deal with this. He says, but if so, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there's that simple handover in that anxious place of, I can't. I actually can't, Lord. But not my will. Your will be done. So I'm actually going to go through it. I'm actually going to go through it. And the reason why I'm saying some of us, like I'm not speaking to you, because for those who maybe don't know, about a year and a half ago, I was retrenched. No job. And what this means is no finances. And I was jobless, looking for work. But in that time, I've got three daughters. I've got three daughters that needs to eat. I've got a wife that I need to be strong for, you know. She knew everything. We knew that God was almost taking us out of a place into another place, but we didn't see it. I was in doubt. And that was like me. Saying, Lord, I don't have answers for my wife and kids and anybody. I don't know where the next meal is going to come from or the debit orders, if it's going to bounce or not. But not my will. Your will be done, Lord. Your will be done to advance your kingdom. And that was hard. Not as hard as Jesus, obviously. But for me in my life, that was odd. Saying to my family, listen, guys, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to go to school next month. I don't know if I'm going to have to pull you out. And they love school. They do. My wife loves chocolate. To say to her, I don't know if you're going to get a chocolate next week. But what I did know is that God was in control. And I can promise you this. He said to me, Sherman, every day at my feet. Every day at my feet. That's where you need to be. Kneeling down. Praising when I'm doubting. Sherman, at my feet. At my feet, Sherman. That's where you need to be. Anxiety wants to come, like, I'm going to make plans, I'm going to send CVs everywhere, I'm going to even go to the Navy, I'm going to do everything, everything just, and you know, I did go to the Navy, I tried, they didn't accept me. I did it. I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Lord, but at your feet is where I belong, I guess. And that was it. That was the thing. It's not about me, right? After Jesus prayed that prayer, yes, yes, amazing thing. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven. Now picture this. From the very throne room of God, of heaven, he sends an angel to Jesus. He says, I'm going to strengthen you because you're praying. And I can tell you, I'm standing here because I've had angels come to me. Providing, saying, Sherman, I'm going to strengthen you. Not once did my kids go without food because of his angels. Some of you are sitting here. Not once. Because he provides a way. He provided a way. And he continues to provide a way. From the throne room of heaven, God himself provides for us. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So now you get this breakthrough for a little bit. It's an angel strengthening you. But yet his reality was, I'm going to die on a cross. I'm still going to go down a cross. So he's in agony now. It's worse. And for some of us, you might have prayed the prayer. And it came back, and now you're like, no, I'm out. No, no. Don't hold on. Don't hold back. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. Go, okay, it's worse, but I'm going to pray. Jesus did it. He was in agony. And he continues to pray. So really the second time praying in this short space here. Earnestly, and his sweat became great drops of blood falling to the ground. So now, forget about anxiety. Double A that to an anxiety. Have you ever sweated blood? Have you ever sweated blood? And he's to that point already. Sweating blood. Because this is overwhelming. But yet we see Jesus handing over his will again. Praying. Saying, Lord. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Again, he says, rise and pray. Not rise and walk away. Not rise and forget about it, you tried. He says, go and pray again. Again, that you may not enter into anxiety that's coming your way. Or fear that's coming your way. Temptation that's coming your way. Pray. Keep praying. Keep praying. And let me tell you just quick why we need to keep praying. In Romans 6, says that when we don't hand these things over to our Father, we become slaves to these things. We only need to be slaves of one master. Only one master. I'll try and tell you a bit more. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. What word? The word of God. That's the ESV version. I want to just touch on something. Another version of God's very word says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. It causes depression. And the profound thing is that when we give in to something, it causes long-lasting consequences, even to depression. Word of God says that if we give in to anxiety, we feed anxiety and not God, it can lead us to depression. And this morning, I want to say that some of us need to take this wood and let the fire keep burning. The thing about taking wood, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take my hands clear. Forget about the mic. I've got to pick this wood up. My fire is over there. Hopefully I'm not going to do that. With both hands. For a moment there, I put the mic down, forgot about my notes, forgot about the other things that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about this one thing. And even Paul says in Philippians, do not be anxious. He's saying to you, don't, do not. And the thing is, we can go, Hashem, do you know how difficult that is? I understand. I can imagine. But Jesus himself said, pray. Take everything away. Put your mic down. Take your wood. Stack the fire. The one that keeps burning for me. And the promise or the helpful tip that Paul is giving us, he doesn't just say, stop that, change your ways. He says, listen here. But in everything, by prayer, again, fourth time, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Let it be known to Him. Stop thinking about those other things. Think about these things. And if you go read that scripture further, it says, think about good things. Intentionally. Intentionally think about good things. Again, he's not saying stop with your anxiety, stop with your fear, just move on. No, he's saying instead of those things, can you think about that first day that Jesus called you by name? Can you think about that? What an amazing day it was. Think about how I provided for you yesterday. Think about the mountains. Look at it. I created that. What can't I do for you? Think about these things. So I'm going to pray with us. Lord, this morning we want to lay down everything again. Take our hands off from the mic. Take the wood and stack it up, Lord. We want to think about good things, Lord. We want to think about everything that you are. Your very nature, Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the one that loves us, that calls us by name, Lord. Father, those who don't know you this morning, I want to pray for them as well. Lord, that if there's never been a fire lit in their lives for you, I want to pray that you are lighted this morning. And I want to pray that you will join them in us as your army, Father, as your army members, Lord. And even if you are sitting here now and you feel like God's calling you by name and you feel like there's a fire burning or wanting to erupt inside of you and you've never given your heart to Jesus to start this journey of packing wood, I want to ask you, maybe you can raise your hand. If there's anyone like that, that knows today that I don't know this Jesus that Sherman's talking about, that Jesus that died for me on the cross, but I want to get to know him. Is there anyone like that? Or if your eyes closed, I want to pray with you. There's no one. So Father, we all know you here. We claim to. I pray now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you break every chain that's hindering us, whether it be anxiety, fear, depression, anything, Father, that's not making us run flat out for you. I pray that you will break that chain now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, we offer our lives as a living sacrifice again to you this morning, Father. And if it means that we're adding one piece of wood to that fire, then let it be one piece. But we're not going to let that fire die, Father, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name.